Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Getting lots of text messages from lots of people who have so many different varieties of streaming services and the way they get them. Some of them get them through their cable company. Others get them through bundles. Others get them through their cell phone provider. And it really is a crazy, confusing landscape out there to know how to get everything you want to see and get it at the best price. And there doesn't seem to be any agreement on any of that. By the way, The Pitt won Outstanding Drama Series last night at the Emmys. The Studio won Outstanding Comedy Series. And Adolescence won Outstanding Limited or Anthology Series. I've seen Adolescence, very good on Netflix. I really want to see The Pit, but don't currently have HBO, and I've not seen The Studio because I don't currently have Apple TV, so there you go. What I did have, though, was the opportunity to watch the Saints and the 49ers yesterday. Very impressive play from the defense. And it did turn out to be a fumble. The hand was not going forward. The Saints recover it. It gave us hope. It gave the team some life. But in the end, they did lose the game. But glimmers of hope. Mike Dettillier, our WWL NFL analyst, on the line with us now. And Mike, we saw some things to be hopeful about, didn't we?
Yeah, it was certainly Spencer Rattler's best game he's ever played in the NFL. After a rough start, man, he had some drops. It was sort of a misfire on the throw to Chris Olave. Now, it had been a tough catch, but he sort of threw it behind him. And
yeah, we'll get to the offense. I wanted to start by talking to you about defense, though.
Defense, man, they were lousy. They were lousy yesterday. You can't up against a team that's missing their starting quarterback, their starting tight end, their star receiving Brandon Ayuk. Then in the first quarter, their starting fullback, who's really, really a terrific player, and an interior guard. And they were 8 of 15 on third downs. Okay, you can't give up over 50% conversion rate on third down. They make Mac Jones look every bit as good as Brock Purdy. Yesterday, they didn't get a lot of heat on him. I thought yesterday they did a much better job stopping the run than they had done in game one. But I was not impressed defensively at all with this football team. I was much more impressed with the offense. That was some misfires there. But defensively, when you have a beat up football team, and this is why I'm not coaching. I got family members that do, and this sort of game would have drove me absolutely up the wall because you had an opportunity against a football team that was beat up in San Francisco, and you had some opportunities and couldn't put them away. But defensively, you can't give up 8 of 15 on third down conversions. You got to get off the field. You got to be able to.
And there were opportunities for the 49ers to have even more success on defense and bit themselves on the ass rather than letting the Saints defense to it.
Correct. But, that part is true now, but man, Kyle Shanahan, the game plan he had against the Saints was really good with a limited roster of people that were playmakers. But he found cracks in the secondary for Mac Jones, and you always know McCaffrey is going to be a big part of the offense. His running skills are really good, but man, he's such a mismatch as a receiver. And a lot of times you say, how can he get open that way? Man, you saw a couple of times McCaffrey catch the ball. There's really no one around him. My thing is, okay, he's the guy. Okay, if somebody else beat you, hey, God bless him. But I can't let McCaffrey come up with these third down catches, and he was able to do it.
And the penalties. Oh, my God, the penalties on the defensive side of the ball when you thought you're getting off the field and then somebody does something stupid and extends the drive.
Yeah, that's another part of it. That's an extension of last week, too. Didn't have as many penalties, but it's when you had them. And on those third down conversion plays, that's a losing formula. And again, you're going to look back and say, how the hell did we lose this football game yesterday? Because the 49ers came in here. That game actually opened at a 7-point favorite for the 49ers. It towered down to 3 by the end. Now, they were able to cover yesterday. But, man, my thing is you had them and you let them loose.
42-yard touchdown strike. You just can't let that happen. All right, we'll talk about Spencer Rattler and the bright spots in the offense with Mike Dettillier when we come back after this check on WWL Traffic. Yeah, the Saints had their bright moments and glimmers of hope. Juwan Johnson, after dropping some easy passes, catches that nearly impossible one for a Saints score. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker along with Mike Dettillier. And, Mike, you were impressed by Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, I thought it was his best game as a NFL player. After a bit of a rough start, you get a couple passes dropped. It was a bit of a misfire on what would have been an easy touchdown throw to Chris Olave. It was a little bit to the backside of him. It had been a tough catch, but you got to catch that too. But overall, this is sort of back-to-back games. Spencer didn't beat the offensive team down with his play. He showed a certain poise in the pocket. He was accurate with his throws. He got some heat a few times, and he got out of there. Man, he made a really nice run for a first down on the fourth down play. At the end, goes to show you what one guy can do to affect your offensive line, and that's Nick Bosa. Okay, Nick makes one play late, and then on the fourth down play, looked like they had three hats on a hat on him. And Bryce Huff makes the tackle to end it. But overall, I thought Spencer did a really good job yesterday utilizing the different players out on the field. And a lot of times, too, quarterbacks, when you make a mistake or you have a drop or two, they're not going back to him. And you saw what he did with Juwan Johnson. He went right back to him. Juwan, that was the tough catch. The one in the end zone, the two that he dropped were easy.
Literally hit him in the chest. I mean, right through his hands. And
right through it. Pow.
I mean, Rattler put some spice on that ball, but those are catches that you got to make.
Yeah, and so overall, man, Spencer Rattler's not the reason you lost yesterday. He played a really good football game, and no question, the best football game he's played in the National Football League. I just wish, the penalties, missed opportunities, you missed a field goal. Because that first drive, you had it gone, and you come away with 0 points. Man, Dave, that that's a kick in the coconut, so to speak, because you've got this set up where at least try to get some points out of it if you didn't get the touchdown. And then Groupie, man, that was a bad kick.
Uncharacteristic
that,
of him.
Man, I've hit a couple of them on the golf course before that. Man, that ball really trailed off on him. But, again, Rattler played well. He had a good football game for the Saints yesterday.
All right. When we come back, we're going to get Mike to tell us what the Saints have to do to show continued progress. They showed that Rattler did make that progress. However, the offense as a whole still making too many penalties, dropping too many balls, not impressed by the defense, Mike Dettillier. So when we come back, we'll say, all right, what do the Saints have to do in week three to show us continued progress and to start moving or keep moving maybe in the right direction? I'm Dave Cohen. It's 6:29 on your Monday morning, in for Tommy Tucker. Tommy will be back tomorrow. We'll be back after the news. In the news, we're going to talk about, and we'll talk about this later. You can text us about it. The Pentagon apparently has a plan to send 1,000 National Guard troops to New Orleans to fulfill the president's plan to end crime in the city. We'll talk about that after the news on WWL. Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. We're going to be in the 70s and 60s in the mornings, 90s in the afternoon, not a drop of rain all week long. So get used to this weather. Do we have to get used to what we saw yesterday from the Saints? 3 touchdown passes from Spencer Rattler. The first time in his career he's done that. The most he's ever had in a game before was just 1. Mike Dettillier telling us before the news he was impressed by Spencer Rattler. Somebody texts us, though, Mike, and says, do any other NFL teams have a quarterback that's 0-8 as a starter?
Not right now. You know, it's been a tough ride. That's why, man, going into this game, I thought they had a great opportunity here because of sometimes it's not who you play, but when you play them. They come in kind of beat up. They got a backup quarterback in, and I thought maybe he could break that streak. Just didn't happen.
Saints lose 26-21, but they were in the game. And we were talking before, what does this team have to do now? They head out to Seattle for a Sunday afternoon game. What do they have to do to continue to improve? We saw some signs of improvement yesterday over week one. What do they have to keep doing to get better and hopefully at some point get a win?
On defense, continue to play to run better. Dave, last week they gave up over 5 yards a rush. Yesterday it was 3. That's a big drop-off. They stopped the running game of the 49ers. Now, Seattle, they're going to try to run the football too because they might say, I think that's sort of an anomaly. I'm going to continue to run the football at the Saints. But I like the way they played the run yesterday. And that's a big improvement when you give up 5 yards of rush and then yesterday it was just 3. You didn't get a ton of pressure on Mac Jones. You can't play this league without it. Now, that may come with the better health of Chase Young, who's missed the first couple games due to a calf injury. But, man, you've given up a lot of cushion in the secondary. So if a quarterback sees that little short throw, he's going to do it. That's what Mac Jones did yesterday. He kind of dinked and dunked it downfield. And then every once in a while, he would take that big shot downfield. On offense, to continue to work on that coordination between Spencer Rattler and his receiving core. Still every once in a while, the throw is not exactly, you know, coordinated right. But you got to play better in the interior. Your 2 guards yesterday, they got a lot of pressure from right up the middle. I mean, it came right center. And, you know, and talking to all the quarterbacks that I work with, and Bobby's certainly one of them, that, man, you hate to see that. When somebody's coming right at you, and you got to be able to either maneuver around it or step up in the pocket and throw it. And again, too, the running game. It was a little better than it was week one, but that's something that this football team, you could tell it's still early in the season. And I say this all the time. People would always say the biggest improvement is from week one to week two. I don't buy any of that today. Even in college football, I don't buy it. Really, the improvement is from week 2 to 3 and 3 to 4. because you haven't played a lot now in college football. The transfer portal is almost like you got a brand new football team. Like LSU, they got nine guys off the transfer portal that are starters. So they're somewhat like the NFL, just trying to get everything together. Next 2 weeks are going to be tough. You're on the road at Seattle, a football team that has sort of taken the image of the head coach. He came from the Baltimore Ravens as a defensive coordinator. That means physical football. They're going to jam it at you, running it, and they come after you with a lot of purpose. And then in 2 weeks, the Buffalo Bills.
Ouch.
Yep.
All right, so of the two games, I guess this weekend they have the better chance of picking up the victory. One person texts us and says, was Rattler drilling the ball too hard for the receivers? Why did we see so many drops of passes that were right in the hands of our receivers?
Well, it has nothing to do with him drilling it. You got to catch it. No, when the ball goes through your hands and hits your shoulder pads, okay, that's all about concentration. You saw the first one with Johnson. He turned his head right at the last moment to look upfield. He didn't look it in. The other one was just a pure drop. It went right through his hands and hit his shoulder pad. You know, you can't blame that on Rattler. Okay, you got a job to do on the field. Your job is to catch it. Everybody do their job. Don't try to do too much, but do your job. It had nothing to do with him throwing the football too hard. Juwan's got to make those two catches. The crazy thing is, the third catch was the most difficult one in the corner of the end zone, and that one he comes up with.
Yeah, there were some highlights. We saw some improvement, but not enough to win the game. More with Mike coming up after this on WWL. The Saints are 0-2 after losing to the 49ers 26-21 in the Superdome. NFL analyst Mike Dettillier with us. Saw signs of improvement on the offense, disappointed in the defense. Mike, this is a team that is clearly rebuilding, right?
And no question about it. It's sort of the R word that nobody wants to use if you're part of an organization. But it's clearly in front of you. When you have this many new faces on a team, that you're in the rebuilding stage with a young quarterback, your offensive line, which you've put a lot of resources in it. And, man, let me just say this. I thought Kelvin Banks yesterday really, really played well. You're not going to win every battle because of who you're going up against at that left tackle. But man, Kelvin Banks, he impressed me as a technician and as a tough guy out on the field. But, man, the interior, your two guards, that's got to get better play. But you are in the rebuild all across the board.
And I think as fans, we kind of have to accept that. A couple of people texted in and noted that they've been going to games for, if not all of the 50 years in the Superdome, nearly all of them, and said they've never seen so many opposing teams' fans. Well, the Superdome sold out on a season ticket basis, so that was season ticket holders who
yep.
kind of understand what's going on and were more interested in making money by selling their seats than going to the game.
It's a broker. You brokering those tickets. And New Orleans, and I did a show last week with a couple people out in Las Vegas. New Orleans is the destination site other than Las Vegas. Come on, who doesn't want to go to Las Vegas or who doesn't want to come to the city of New Orleans? And so it becomes spring break. So for San Francisco, that deal is, hey, we take a couple trips a year or one trip a year was to New Orleans. And they all out there, and you can buy these tickets. And I first heard about it Friday night. They were like, you ought to see the sea of red in the French Quarter, that all these San Francisco 49er fans are there and for the trip. Also, too, there is a generation or two of people that grew up watching football. They were for the 49ers, even though they live here. You know why? The 49ers were winning big.
Yeah, and that
and
always...
people are willing to sell those
people
tickets.
People love winners.
Yep.
And people
question.
Love money, too. And so
that's right. Capitalists.
If you want to blame anyone for so many 49ers fans being particularly in the lower bowls and not just in the seats they the Saints have to reserve for them, that's the season ticket holders. Mike, we look forward to much more analysis from you tonight on the Second Guest Show live from the Silver Slipper with Bobby starting at 4 o'clock.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And by the way, folks, you know, a lot of people are frustrated with the way things are going for the Saints. Well, Dennis Allen, the Saints' former head coach, got destroyed for a second week in a row as the defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. And if you think anything would have been better keeping him, I'm not so sure that would have been the case. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Coming up in the news, we'll talk more about the Pentagon's plan to send 1,000 troops to New Orleans in what President Trump says could be what it takes to essentially reduce crime to zero in just a matter of days in New Orleans. And then after the news, Jeff Palermo joins us to help us talk about what happened as LSU, the Tigers, the number 3-ranked team in college football, wins again and remains undefeated. The extra point would make it a 20-10 lead, and that would be all it took. LSU would go on to win by that margin, 20-10 over the Florida Gators, the undefeated 3rd-ranked football team in all of the college ranks. To help us break down what happened and talk about LSU football, we welcome in Jeff Palermo, WWL.com, LSU columnist. Morning, Jeff.
How are we doing today, Dave?
Well, that Tigers defensive performance, wow, got to be impressed. Maybe the best defense in all of college football.
Yeah, they're making a strong argument for that to be the case. I mean, they've played 3 teams, and defensively they've been outstanding. They've held 3 teams now to at least held them to 1 touchdown. Now, granted, you know, obviously Florida put up 10 points and Clemson put up 10 points, but just 1 touchdown in the first 3 games from your first 3 opponents. They have not done that, Dave, since 2007, and we all know what happened in 2007. That team went on to win a national championship. We'll see if history repeats itself, but really made it a tough night for DJ Lagway, the Florida quarterback. We talked about it going into the game. DJ Lagway is a very talented quarterback, but he just hasn't been on the field much. He has not been on the practice field much either because of injuries. And actually, that was his first road game, and he got swallowed up by the Tigers defense. And he was trying to make plays that were not there. He just seemed to step off. And LSU just made it just very uncomfortable for him all night long.
Yeah, it really was a championship-caliber defense, not so much a championship-caliber offense. We haven't seen that yet, and it's still early to talk about if this is a national champion-caliber LSU team as a whole, but so far we definitely have not seen the offense show signs that it is bound for greatness.
Yeah, it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle, and it really starts with the inability to run the football. Now, they did it effectively enough against Clemson. Again, they struggled last week as well. They did get a long run last week from Harlan Berry, and that made the statistics look better. They got a long run from Caden Durham at the end of this game that makes the statistics look better. And Brian Kelly said afterwards, all you need is one run. But I think he would tell you that you need a little bit more than what they're getting out of the ground game, and it's putting LSU in a tough situation. And then, you know, you throw in the fact that you got some new wide receivers that you're trying to work in, and an entirely new offensive line, and it has yet to come together. You got a chance this Saturday, Dave, to put up some points, to get into some sort of a rhythm offensively when you take on Southeastern Louisiana.
They had that chance against Louisiana Tech, though, and really couldn't do it. And Saturday, only 1 touchdown from Garrett Nussmeier. Just not what you were hoping to see, especially from all the preseason hype about how this offense was finally where it needed to be. Yeah, I hope and I love the Lions. I live in Tangipahoa Parish, but I really want to see LSU destroy them like 70-0 so that the offense can find a groove and show that they are that good.
Yeah, because the following week they're going to play Ole Miss, and we know the Rebels can score some points. We don't know who the starting quarterback will be. You know, they went with their backup, and they were able to get a win on Saturday against Arkansas. But you're going to have to go to Oxford and score some points. And really, you can also make the argument that the first real big test for this LSU defense is going to be when they go to Ole Miss. You go back to Clemson. Look at they're 1-2, and they are struggling. They don't have a running game either. And you kind of won. I mean, it was still a great win. You went on the road. You beat a team that was preseason ranked top in the top 5. You can't take that away from LSU. But you know, just how good is this Clemson team? They don't look that great. Louisiana Tech, you know, they won this past weekend, but they're not a great team. And Florida's got its issues at quarterback because DJ Lagway is just not there yet. And LSU took advantage of it. And so you're going to have to figure out a way to score three or four touchdowns, I think, when they go up to Ole Miss and win that game and potentially win it comfortably, because Ole Miss is going to they're going to test your defense. So, yeah, you want to see a really good performance from LSU's offense. Southeastern, of course, an FCS school, so it should be a little bit easier for LSU to move the ball against the Lions.
Let's hope so, because not so much against La Tech. We're talking with Jeff Palermo. You can read more from him. Defense leads as LSU waits for the offense to find its way. That's his latest article at WWL.com. When we come back, Jeff had predicted that the LSU Tigers would go 10-2 this season. After three games undefeated and third ranked in the nation, does he still feel like that's where this Tiger team is headed? We'll find out that from Jeff after we check on WWL traffic. Five interceptions, but they didn't turn them into points, at least not into touchdowns. LSU wins 20-10, but with five interceptions, I think you would have expected it to be an even bigger victory. WWL.com LSU columnist Jeff Palermo wrote, "The defense is playing great, special teams have been good, and the Tigers have themselves a punter in Grant Chadwick. It's just that the offense needs to get going, and Brian Kelly believes it eventually will." That's what you have on our website, Jeff. Kelly believes it eventually will. At least he says that. Do you believe this offense eventually will find its way?
I think you're going to see Garrett Nussmeier and this receiving core get better as the season goes along. I have my doubts, though, on the running game, Dave, because we've been listening now for the last 3 years about how they're going to run the ball. They'll be able to control the game running the football, and for the last 3 years they have, and this being the third year, we have not really seen much evidence of that. Again, we saw a little bit of it against Clemson, but you know, you go back to 2023, you throw out Jaden Daniels 1,000 yards rushing, they could not really run the football when they handed the ball off to a running back. Last year it was really tough, and again this year it's not looking much better. So what makes you think that all of a sudden they're going to be able to resolve this here? And it's just really puzzling. It's really puzzling. Now, you know, especially last year when you – because Brian Kelly and everybody else will point to the fact that you had four guys on that offensive line that ended up getting drafted. Well, now you got an entirely different offensive line, and you're still having these issues. And you brought in new coaches – to help you with the run game, and it's still not, or analyst, I guess you could say, so you're still not really seeing much out of it. So I think we'll see better games from Garrett Nussmeier. I don't think they're certainly in midseason form when it comes to the passing game, and there's just too many good wide receivers for them not to really have some big games throwing the football. But it does concern me about finding some sort of consistent run attack.
Yeah, you would expect with five interceptions that you'd win 40-10, not 20-10.
Yeah,
and
right.
But if the defense keeps playing at this caliber, obviously it gives them a chance in absolutely every game.
Right.
Before the season started, you thought this Tiger team would go 10-2. Now that you've got to see them play in three games, you still feeling good about that 10-2 prediction?
Still feeling good at 10-2. I mean, I don't think they're going to finish 9-3. They're too good defensively, but I'm still going to stick at the 10-2 just because this is still a very difficult schedule. And I think what you're going to see in the SEC is a lot of parity is probably the best word to put it, because I think the top five or six teams in this league, they're all really good and they can beat anyone. And then there's some teams there that are from the 7-11 group that can come up and surprise you and beat you. But you're still looking at, I mean, when you look at, we already talked about Ole Miss. Then they host South Carolina. South Carolina lost its starting quarterback. They have not played good. That looks like a game that's not going to be as tough as it was at the beginning of the season. But Vanderbilt just blew out South Carolina.
Vanderbilt's ranked. They're the 20th team in the nation.
They've won all three of their games by double digits. That's a trip to Nashville. And right now it looks like it's going to be an 11 a.m. or 12 o'clock start. That could be a tough one. And then Texas A&M could be undefeated when they come to Tiger Stadium on October 25th.
Currently the 10th ranked team in the nation.
Alabama, granted it's just Wisconsin, but it kind of looks like they're starting to figure things out there.
They're ranked number 14.
And then you finish it off with Oklahoma, who looks really good so far through the season, and they got a quarterback. So I'm going to stick with 10-2. This is still a college football playoff team and a team capable, I think, of winning a national championship. It's only week three. They got some time to clean some things up, but I don't know if we'll ever really see a very good rushing attack out of this group.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much. You have five ranked teams in the last eight games for the Tigers. If there's nothing, that'll tune them up for the playoffs, assuming they're headed in that direction. Thank you, Jeff. Read more from Jeff at WWL.com. When we come back, we'll be talking about finances here on WWL. In for Tommy Tucker on your Monday morning and joined by Jason Shields, Chief Operating Officer of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, for our Bank on It segment, financial insights you can count on here on WWL. How was your weekend, Jason?
It was good, Tom. Dave, how was yours?
It was fantastic. Wish the Saints would have won the game, but hey, at least we saw some signs of improvement and they were in the game. Talking about signs of improvement, a lot of people have been asking, when will the Fed start cutting interest rates? And we got some more data over the last several days that may give us some insight into that, particularly last week's inflation numbers. What did you see?
Yeah, so the last week's inflation numbers showed that core inflation came in, headline CPI, as it's called, at about 2.9% year over year. And so I know we always talk about that inflation number on the news and everything, but I wanted to step back for a second and kind of explain what that actually means to people, because while it's a great number, what does that mean to me on my bottom line? And the way I like to explain inflation to everyone simply is, this is what things cost you now versus this time last year. So it's a year-over-year number. The grocery store example, if you spent $100 on groceries this time last year, you spent $103 on it for the exact same thing. That's a 3% inflation rate. So what we saw was a 2.9% year-over-year number. Now, everybody knows that the Fed, I've talked about this before with its dual mandate. And so when they meet this week, one of the things that they want to look at is they want to keep price stability, which means they're looking to keep inflation in check, which is 2% as their target. Then they also want to keep maximum employment, and that's looking at the unemployment numbers, the jobs numbers, and making sure that they're keeping those within control.
So as we go into this, where are we? Because we know there's going to be inflation. Deflation's not real. Inflation is something that we know is going to be there. You say the Fed wants it at 2%. It came in at 2.9%. And in some sectors, it's even higher than that, obviously. The 2.9 is the average across the board. So, do we expect things to change there? And you also mentioned jobs numbers, not as strong as a lot would like to see them.
They are not. So the August job number came in at 22,000. That just simply means that the market as a whole added 22,000 jobs. Now, what the Fed considers a healthy number is in the 150,000 range. Anything below 75,000, they consider what they call weakening. And what that in essence means is you're not adding enough jobs to keep up with population growth. And so they're basically walking a tightrope this week when they meet, right? The jobs market has been very slow. It's been weakening for the past several months. There was that adjustment that came back in from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that reduced job growth by almost a million over the past year. And so that's moved those averages down. And so the general feeling of the market right now is the weakening job market is more than offsetting the inflation number. And so the markets have about a 90 to 95% prediction that there's going to be a 25 basis point drop this week, which would be in line with what the signals the Fed has been giving us for the past couple of months are.
And yeah. and that would be encouraging for those of us who want to see interest rates come down, because that's not something that the Fed has been doing for a long time now. And there's many who feel that they have been slow to start bringing down interest rates, but there's still not 90-95% is what the markets feel they're going to do, but they have just not been inclined to lower interest rates for a while.
Yeah, that, you're 100% right, Dave. And so this one feels pretty baked in when you look at what the market has done. But with the Fed, and this week when they meet, they put their minutes out, and their minutes are really going to signal where they see us going for the rest of the year. And they've made no secret to the fact that while inflation is above the number that they're looking for, they consider the impact of tariffs to be transitory, meaning it's momentary inflation overlap. It won't continue to be a year-over-year thing. And they've taken that into consideration when they start talking about what their rate cuts will be.
Well, I know a lot of people who have been waiting to sell, buy, or refinance a home, who have been waiting on major financial decisions because they've wanted to see things improve and want to see rates start to come down. So those people who have been waiting to do any of these things, what does the future look like for them?
Yeah, great question. So I like to remind everyone that the Fed controls what we call short rates, right? That is the short end of the stick. So things that people typically, most people relate to Wall Street Journal prime rate, right? That's the thing that tends to drive what your credit card rates are, car loans, smaller, shorter duration type things, even home equity lines of credit, right? So usually when you see a move from the Fed, those things tend to go pretty lockstep relatively quickly. The mortgage rates, however, are a longer term rate. So 30-year mortgages tend to price themselves based on what's the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
And your treasury note. And that is simply dictated by what the market is willing to bear as far as the price of it's concerned. So if the market feels that inflation is going to continue to tick up and that the jobs market's going to correct itself, what you're going to see is that long end of the curve is going to continue to stay higher, and that would have that impact on the on your 30-year mortgage rates. So that being said, I would tell everyone, see what the Fed announces on Wednesday, and you know, let's see how the rest of the week, how the market treats those. And you'll see the movement. If they're confident that it's going in the right direction, you tend to see the 10-year adjust itself accordingly. But it's not going to happen overnight like the short-term rates will.
Well, do you think that this is the first domino? If indeed 90 to 95% of these predictors are correct, the Fed does cut interest rates by 25 basis points, and we start to see a change in the philosophy, can we expect further rate cuts in additional meetings this year?
So in general, the market tends to think that there will be two more rate cuts after this one. That's a fairly aggressive thing, obviously, given how quickly the numbers are moving around. We're not exactly sure. But what we do know, and what I encourage everyone to pay attention to, is after this meeting ends on Wednesday, the Fed puts out what they call a dot plot. And it's just a simple graph with a bunch of dots on it. But in essence, it's all of the Fed governors getting together, and they put their votes on anonymously where they feel that rates are going to be in both the short term and the long term. So they'll project that out many years into the future. But the one that the market and specifically us are going to focus on is those short term ones, which is where do they see rates at the end of 2025 and where do they see that first quarter of 2026 after they meet. That in general, that's the one that tends to drive what expectations will do. So we'll know a whole lot more on Wednesday as to if they feel that the jobs numbers are going to continue to be weak, if they feel that inflation is going to slow down slightly. But for your savers in the audience, when short-term rates go down, CD rates tend to go down and savings rates tend to go down. So if your listeners have a feeling that rates are going to continue to go down, now may be that time to lock in some of those higher interest rates on some of those savings accounts and things that they have.
Meanwhile, the market's at record highs. People's 401k is doing well, and that's encouraging.
It is.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it, Jason. I always look forward to Bank On It, financial insights you can count on with Jason Shields, Chief Operating Officer at Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Have a great week, and thanks for joining us here on WWL. Jason Shields on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen. We're back with your text messages from the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870 right after this. Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Thanks for joining us on your Monday morning. And the weather all week, pretty much the same. 60s and 70s to get us started. Not uncomfortable in the mornings, but then into the mid-90s by the afternoon and downright hot as we continue to deal with summer conditions afternoons and evenings here in southeast Louisiana. There was a lot of debate and discussion, not only here in Louisiana, but in a number of other states that have adopted voucher programs that allow private school students to get funding from public school budgets. And the idea is that if the public schools are not working for parents and students, why not take the money that the government has to fund education, give it to the parents, and let them send their kids to private schools? Well, the opponent said this will destroy public schools. Has it? Well, Gabriel Olivier is a graduate student in the Department of Economics at Tulane University and has done some research on it. Gabriel, thanks for joining us here on WWL. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So you looked into this, not only here in Louisiana, but in other states that now offer these voucher programs that allow parents to send kids to private school with public dollars. And what did you find?
So we looked at universal voucher programs across the nation. So the 11 that went into effect 2021 to 2024. And basically what we found is that there are small enrollment gains, right, 3 to 4% of private school enrollment, and an increase in tuition in response to vouchers. Additionally, we found that the sort of normal private school you should have in your mind is likely a lot smaller and cheaper than you'd think, maybe about 30 students at tuition, about $5,000 a year.
So there's not been an overwhelming shift in where kids go to school because of these private vouchers that are available in a number of states now.
No, the universal vouchers definitely did not seem to be, you know, at this point, massively changing the way that students are enrolled, for sure.
Why is that? Well, if so many states and so many advocates were singing the praises of this, and we know we heard it here in Louisiana now for years and years through a number of governors, why has it not caught on and been more successful in allowing students to go to private schools with public dollars?
Well, I think there are several reasons. The biggest of which being that there might be, you know, concerns that these programs will stick around, right? Having your students switch schools, and then in a lot of states, these programs are pretty controversial. So they don't want to lose that funding and then maybe lose, you know, have to switch back midstream. Also, students might not want to, or families might not want to switch their students in, you know, the middle of their education. They might wait till something like eighth grade or, you know, entering kindergartners. And then I think in general, we really need to think about which schools are accepting these voucher kids as well.
So only about 3% of the public school students are now going to private schools on vouchers. I think a lot of people expected these programs to be more successful and grow more quickly, but it is interesting that folks are concerned about how political winds blow and whether or not they should participate in these programs, not knowing how long they'll last. I hadn't really ever considered that as being a concern amongst parents. But where is the money going? So with this 3%, you said we have to take a look at which private schools are benefiting from this. Which ones are they?
So it seems to be smaller schools that are probably cheaper than you would have expected. And then these tend to be clustering in like non-Catholic religious schools. However, just a little bit of an addendum, that 3% is of existing private school enrollment. So it's not 3% of public school students.
So private school enrollment grew by 3% as a result of vouchers.
Yes, sir. And so right now it seems like the lion's share of the money in these universal vouchers is going to students who already attended private schools.
So they were already there. They're already paying for private school. Now they get a voucher so they don't any longer have to pay for it, taking advantage of the program, getting benefits from the program, but really nothing changing in terms of where those students are going to school.
Yes, exactly.
That is interesting that people had already made the decision that we're going to bite the bullet and pay for it anyway are the ones more likely to take advantage of this. Has this been something that promoters of vouchers have identified and are doing anything to try and find ways to get more people to take advantage of these programs?
So in terms of whether they've identified whether, you know, existing private school students are going to be taking up the vouchers, it's definitely something they're aware of. However, the intent of all these programs, and, you know, especially the LA Gator, which is not going to be, you know, universal to start, but the intent is to move universal. And then in terms of spurring enrollment, I think one of the hopes is that as time goes by, maybe more people learn about the program, maybe it gets a little bit easier to do for the application progress, our process. But I think they're just hoping that these effects will sort of progress.
When we come back, what does the future look like for voucher programs here in Louisiana and across the country? Are they going to continue to flourish and grow? Will they see private school enrollment grow more than this 3%? Or is this about where we're at? And is it going to ruin public education as opponents had feared? We'll talk more about that after this on WWL. Vouchers. Letting parents use private education by taking their public tax dollars from the state to fund that tuition. Opponents had said letting parents take the public school money would ruin public education, and others feared sending more public school students to private school would be detrimental to private education. Did we find evidence of either of those things happening? Well, let's ask Gabriel Olivier, a graduate student in the Department of Economics at Tulane, who studied vouchers. Gabriel, has this been the ruin of public and or private education, as some feared?
So right now, it doesn't look like there were very many students induced to switch, you know, from public schools to private schools because of the vouchers. So I think as for right now, there's not a lot of evidence of, you know, public school budgets being broken. However, these programs are very, very expensive. They are just generally coming from other state appropriations. The idea, though, is that these are definitely short-term effects as people become more aware of the programs, as they get better at being administrated. We might see more of a take-up, right? But I think it's important to think about, like, what something very different between private and public education is that private schools can, you know, select which students they will want to admit, right? So I think there's a question of, you know, which schools are going to want to admit students, new public school switchers from these vouchers. Will it be these prestigious schools, or will it be, you know, schools that need the money, right? And one thing I think holding back is holding back large effects in the public school sphere is that, you know, in Louisiana, we have a nationally high percentage, but it's only about 15% of students attend a private school, right? So I don't think they can, you know, if this went to 30% of Louisiana students, I don't think schools could, you know, bear that. They can't just double in size. So the question is will more schools open? What kind of schools will they be? Will they be for profit? There's a lot of questions surrounding that as we go forward.
So a lot of unknowns that you weren't able to analyze. Anything else you can share with us that your research did find as we look at whether or not vouchers will be a part of the plan going forward?
One thing I think is very important that we found in our study is that tuition seems to be going up everywhere since COVID, pretty substantially. And obviously COVID makes sense as sort of, you know, the costs of educating students went up, but that does not seem to have slowed down in the post-COVID years, right? And then I think really what we need to weigh here and what people will be weighing as we go forward, you know, is supporters are saying we're wanting increased access to private education, more parental choice, hopefully more competition between schools and innovation. But on the opponent side, right, we have this public school funding debate, but also I think there's very good questions about like the separation of church and state and funding religious private education, a lack of regulation specifically around admissions and accountability for private schools, right? And then I think there are real concerns about, you know, how important do we think subsidizing high-income students who attend private schools already is, even before we get to whether vouchers are affecting students in a very positive way.
You know, it's interesting. You have a program that, politically speaking, was very popular, particularly in many right-leaning states like Louisiana, that it was a priority, that it was a campaigning issue, and it was a big deal. And there were debates and fights and these voucher programs now showing up all over the country. But interesting that you're finding similar results nationwide, that there just are not a lot of people when you get out of the political circles who are interested in making use of these vouchers unless their kids are already in private school. That's a very interesting finding.
Yes, I agree. I think it gives us a lot to think about, for sure.
Thank you. We sure appreciate it. Gabriel Olivier, thanks for your research and thanks for sharing it with us here on WWL. Have a great week.
Thank you for having me on.
I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. When we come back, we're going to get Rafael Goyeneche in here from the Metro Crime Commission. The President of the United States said last week that within 2 weeks, he could clean up the crime problem in New Orleans with his plan to bring in National Guard and other federal assets. Over the weekend, we got leaked documents from the Pentagon that said 1,000 National Guard troops could be deployed to New Orleans to help in the fight against crime. So we'll ask Rafael Goyeneche, could 1,000 National Guard troops, essentially more than doubling the police presence in New Orleans, within 2 weeks, clean up the crime problem? We'll find out after the news. The President of the United States said last week that his plan to straighten out crime in New Orleans would take less than 2 weeks. Over the weekend, we got leaked documents from the Pentagon suggesting that they're considering sending 1,000 National Guard troops to New Orleans, along with other federal assets, to help fight crime. The president had said Memphis would be first and New Orleans would be second after sending troops into Washington, D.C., where he says he has successfully reduced crime to near zero in the nation's capital. Could this plan work? Would 1,000 National Guard troops allow massive reduction in just 2 weeks in crime in New Orleans? Rafael Goyeneche is the president and CEO of the Metro Crime Commission and joins us. Morning, Rafael.
Hey, good morning.
What do you think about 1,000 National Guard troops? We know that's not official. It's just something that we have learned from leaked considerations at the Pentagon. But what do you think about 1,000 National Guard troops coming to New Orleans? Would they be able to do what the president says and reduce crime dramatically in under 2 weeks?
So 1,000 extra bodies, I think it would have a dramatic effect. Now, New Orleans probably has more experience with the National Guard than many other cities around the country. You know, they come in on a regular basis for in the aftermath of hurricanes. We've seen the National Guard here for about 2.5 months earlier this year, starting right after the terror attack and running through the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras. So their presence here, we took a look, the Crime Commission took a look at the reported violent crime rate in the city while they were here. And there weren't anywhere near 1,000 troopers. The incidents of violent crime were 8.6 per week. After they left, it went up to about 14.5.
So nearly doubling after the guard left from that run from New Year's Day all the way through Mardi Gras.
Exactly. Now, you know, you need to understand, a lot of people just focus on what the National Guard doesn't do. And what they don't do is they don't respond to calls for service. That's the police department and the Louisiana State Police are going to be doing that. They're not going to investigate crime. That's going to be the responsibility of the police department and Louisiana State Police. They're not going to arrest people. But what they do do is that they're a support to the NOPD and the Louisiana State Police. They take some of the load off of those agencies, allowing the police department and the state police to do what they're very good at, and that's responding, investigating, and arresting. So the National Guard will be a visual deterrent. They will be, remember the role that they played during Mardi Gras? They were walking the parade routes in uniforms. They're a visual deterrent. In the French Quarter, when the Bourbon Street was on lockdown, pedestrians had to go in and they had to have their bag search. Well, that was the guardsmen that were doing that. Those weren't police officers or troopers. So they will support the NOPD. They will support the Louisiana State Police, and they absolutely do make a difference.
And we've heard the chief already express that she would welcome any help, that when the state police came in and they established Troop NOLA, she wasn't a part of that conversation. She didn't invite them. She didn't ask for them. But when they got here, she welcomed them and has found ways to work with them, as well as other federal assets from the FBI and other agencies. She said she would welcome the National Guard to help her, but not everyone's on board. We've heard others say that the lack of collaboration, and they don't want this to be a military state, and they don't think that it would be helpful.
Well, you know, we've never told the National Guard no after a hurricane. We didn't tell them no thank you after the terror attack. We didn't say we don't need your help for the Super Bowl, and we didn't ask them to leave for Mardi Gras. We embraced them. They made a difference. If they're deployed here again, they will make a difference. One of the advantages New Orleans has is the National Guard has developed and has a close working relationship with their partners in law enforcement. Unlike some of the other cities, they'd have to learn that. They have that knowledge already. I think that if we have the opportunity to take advantage of it, I don't think it's going to hurt anything. It didn't hurt tourism to have the National Guard here after the terror attack or for the Super Bowl or for Mardi Gras. It made everybody feel safer, and that's what the objective should be.
We're talking with Rafael Goyeneche. When we come back, we'll look at the latest crime statistics and how much could the Guard drive them down even lower. A lot of people argue crime's already going down. It's at historically low levels in many categories. Why do we need the Guard? We'll talk to Rafael Goyeneche about that after we check on WWL traffic. 8:55, Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Rafael Goyeneche is with us from the Metro Crime Commission, talking about the leaked documents from the Pentagon that suggest the Trump administration is considering sending 1,000 National Guard troops and other federal assets to New Orleans after sending assets to Memphis. And the president said last week that in under 2 weeks, he could get the crime problem under control in the Crescent City. Rafael, there were 87 murders as of the last report that the Crime Commission put out on this past Tuesday, waiting for today's information. I got to imagine that the families of those 87 homicide victims, along with the people wounded in the 139 non-fatal shootings, might have different thoughts about this. But it always, to me, comes down to, we're arguing about how much crime is acceptable. And even though we have seen crime numbers down double digits in nearly every category, there's still a significant number of crimes being committed in New Orleans and in other cities where they talk about crime being down. And is it down enough that we say, okay, it's okay that 87 people have been murdered already this year in New Orleans? We don't need the National Guard to help.
No, absolutely. It's unacceptable. One homicide, one crime is one too many. And that is the mindset of everybody in law enforcement around the country. So keep in mind, in the city of New Orleans, we've seen the numbers of police officers plummet to a staffing level that we have never experienced before. We're down at least 300 to 350 officers. The state police that were established here, their goal is to have a 45-member troop. As we speak today, there's about 20, 25 members of this troop. So the state police and the NOPD are understaffed.
How many NOPD do we have now? It's less than 900 now, right?
Oh, it's closer to 800 because they're counting recruits. They're counting people that are out on sick and furlough. So, you know, we're really looking at a realistic number of about 800 officers. So the fact that crime is going down with the numbers that we have is a remarkable accomplishment. But by no means is that the, you know, a declaration of victory. Absolutely not. You know, the police department is doing everything in their power to rebuild their numbers, but that's going to take years. So what we saw after January 1st, the federal authorities came to the city and all of the sheriff's departments around the country, around the state responded to help. We saw crime go down. And if there's going to be 1,000 National Guardsmen in uniform, people don't commit crimes in front of uniformed police officers or uniformed troopers. They're not going to commit crimes in front of uniformed National Guardsmen.
Can you think of any? Can you think of any negatives? Can you think of any reason that you would give credence to not move forward with this plan?
No, absolutely. I would embrace it. If I was in law enforcement, and someone is offering me additional resources to better protect and serve the people of my community, I would embrace it. That's what the superintendent has said. She'll take it. And I think everybody in law enforcement, and I predict that if they do come here, not only will we see crime go down in the corporate limits of the city of New Orleans, I think we'll see crime go down in the greater metropolitan area because of that presence.
Rafael Goyeneche, we always appreciate your insight and analysis and expertise. I know we'll be talking to you again soon. Thank you for joining us here on WWL.
Sure.
I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker. After the news, we're going to look at the latest polling in the race for mayor of New Orleans. We're less than a month out now from the October election date, the October 11th election date, and we now have polling showing that Helena Moreno is above 50%. Will she win it without a runoff? And we'll see who's in second place as well and get analysis from Clancy Dubose after the news here on WWL. We have an opportunity to chat with you. If you want to join our conversation, call me now at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Things that have been getting people riled up on the text line specifically have been that conversation we just had about us spending more money than ever before on our homes. Is it because we love our homes more? We're investing more in our homes. We want bigger, better, nicer homes in better neighborhoods. Or is it because, well, the cost of everything has gone up, including insurance, taxes, and property values? Why are we spending more than ever on our homes? The average in the United States is about 40% right now. Don't forget that, is 40% right now, according to a new report. I figure I'm spending about 33%, right at a third of my annual income on my home. And when I moved here 28 years ago, it was only about 5% of my income on my home. We also heard from Rafael Goyeneche last half hour talking about all the reasons the Metro Crime Commission 100% supports bringing in the National Guard in getting the Guard to come in with this reported plan to have 1,000 troops come into New Orleans to help fight crime. Metro Crime Commission cited statistics, Rafael Goyeneche did, that they looked at what crime was doing when the Guard was here from January 2nd, right after the January 1st terror attack, until the end of Mardi Gras. And he said that there was about half as many violent crimes committed during that time that the Guard was here, and there weren't nearly 1,000 soldiers here. There were far fewer. And he says bringing 1,000 National Guard in really could do what the president has said. President Trump said last week on Fox and Friends that in less than 2 weeks, he could get crime under control in New Orleans with his plan to bring National Guard.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
What we all miss the most is the food.
The Chinese food.
Any decent Chinese food or pizza.
New York City pizza.
I'm not driving 35 minutes for a decent slice of pizza, okay?
There's no pizza. There's no bagels.
Bagels.
Man, I miss some bacon, egg, and cheeses, man.
I have 3 Thai places on my block.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Active military, FBI, and other federal resources into the city. The police chief told WWL's Newell Norman, anchor Patrick, said, while she was not consulted, has not talked to the administration, and does not traditionally see that as being the role of the National Guard, she would work with and find ways to use and get along with any resources that are sent our way. 504-260-1870. Jay, thanks for calling. You're on WWL. What you want to talk about, Jay?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, real quick, the National Guard thing. I don't think we just need 1,000 National Guard here for 2 weeks. I think we would be better served to have...
Well, no one said they were only going to stay 2 weeks, Jay. That's just as long as the president said that after 2 weeks, their presence here would reduce crime and get it under control, like we've seen in Washington, D.C., where he says crime is now nearly zero.
Well, I think the most effective thing for them would be to, and they do this, but if they did it more often, to have an increased presence in the quarter during bigger events, which I know they do. Okay, but instead of having 1,000 of them here for 2 weeks, have
again, no one is saying they're only going to stay here 2 weeks, Jay.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, but do we need 1,000 of them for 2 weeks? I think we would be better served with having, you know, a lower number for more often. You know, like, you know, just use them as needed. Like for an example.
Okay, so you know, Jay, hold on. There were 87 murders through last Tuesday. We're waiting on this week's statistics. But through last Tuesday, the city of New Orleans had 87 murders, the lowest since 2020, more than in 2019 to this date, but amongst the lowest ever recorded in New Orleans. And many people have said that's a good reason we don't need the National Guard, because crime is so low. But are you saying it's okay that we've had 87 murders so far and that we don't need the National Guard to come in and because we don't really need to reduce those numbers much further?
No, that is not what I'm saying, okay? I'm saying to use the resources more efficiently, okay? And to spike it that high, all right, yes, you're going to have a presence. It's going to reduce crime for however long they are, 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever it is. But especially in the quarter, because I work in the quarter, okay, tourism drives our economy in the quarter and the surrounding areas in New Orleans. And the safer that the tourists feel here, the more tourists we're going to have here, okay?
Okay. So why not bring the National Guard in to make tourists feel safer?
We should. But instead of bringing 2,000 of them in for 2 weeks, we need maybe 100,
right.
200 of them here.
Sorry, Jay, I'm not going to talk to you anymore because you keep saying for 2 weeks, and no one has said bringing the National Guard in for 2 weeks. And you're really using an argument that is not based in fact. They may be here for 2 years. We don't know what the plans say about how long they would stay. The idea is we bring them in, we reduce crime, we get their help, and I can't imagine at any point within 2 weeks someone would say, okay, that's enough, take them out. And that's not what happened in Washington, D.C., and that's not anyone's suggestion of what would happen. I'm happy to debate the advantages and disadvantages to bringing in the Guard, but you didn't present one disadvantage to bringing the Guard in other than you feel like we shouldn't bring so many all at once. But no one said that you can't bring them in later as well. We're going to continue this conversation, but very quickly I want to bring in WWL-TV meteorologist Alexandra Cranford, because Alexandra, here it is, September 15th, and while the mornings ain't so bad, the afternoons are still really hot, right?
Yeah, we're still way in the 90s every afternoon. I mean, if you can get out there early or late is not terrible, but yeah, it's still definitely summery in the afternoons. And actually, it's not going to change at all this entire week.
And no rain this entire week, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, there might be like a stray shower here and there, but not a high chance enough even really to put in the forecast and get anyone's hopes up for any sort of shower this week. But I mean, it's not completely out of the question, but not a high rain chance at all. And then our high temperatures like lower to mid 90s. On Saturday, we hit 96 degrees at the airports.
Yeah, I had to be outside Saturday afternoon. And I was sweating profusely and thinking, oh, this is not September weather. But it is now, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of sort of appropriate. The average high now has dropped to 88, so we are well above average for the temperatures, but it kind of has that familiar feel. It's not quite as bad as the summer, I guess. You can kind of feel the humidity not quite so high, but it's definitely not that nice, crisp fall weather that everyone's looking for.
Yeah, nothing changing this week. We had a report late last week that summer has gotten longer than ever, that compared to 1970, that summers now, depending on where you are, last 7 to 21 days longer than they used to in terms of temperatures in the 90s. So having summer weather, we really don't expect to get out of that here in Southeast Louisiana anymore until October, right?
Yeah, usually it does end up that way. At the end of September, we start to get our first cool fronts. I think the average is actually September 18th for like the first kind of mini cold front, but we don't have that on the horizon at this point. But then again, you look at the tropics, and we have no threats out there in the tropics at all, so it's kind of both things happening. Still hot, not fall, but at least there are no hurricanes heading our way.
Yes, and I will take heat over hurricanes just about any day.
Yep.
As long as it's not 120 degrees. With humidity, I would rather the heat than the hurricanes. And the only feature out there right now, way out in the Atlantic, is looking more and more like if it does develop, it does not head for the Gulf, right?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to head north and take that kind of more early curve out to the north that we've seen with a bunch of systems. We saw a bunch last year doing this. We've seen several this year doing this. So if this does become Gabrielle by the end of this week, Tropical Storm Gabrielle, it doesn't look like it'll get super close to anywhere near the Gulf and might even stay well north of some of the Caribbean islands. It might eventually get kind of close to some of those northern leeward islands. But in any case, it looks like it'll probably curve out to the north somewhere toward Bermuda. Not sure exactly how close it'll come. but staying well away from the East Coast, it looks like, at this point.
All right. Hey, any year we can have seven named storms and none of them threaten Louisiana, that's a good year for us, no doubt.
Absolutely.
And we still have a ways to go. We just passed the statistical peak, so I guess we should, with the caveat that 60% of named storms form after the statistical peak, so we're not necessarily out of the woods yet, but at least the next 7 days.
Yep, I would definitely say so. We'll see how long we can keep this quiet spell going. Hopefully, I mean, wouldn't it be great if we just kind of finish the season going, oh, wow, that wasn't a bad one.
Yes. We don't want a drought. It looks like we may be headed that direction, but
right.
It is what it is. Thank you, Alexandra. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
WWL-TV meteorologist Alexandra Cranford here on WWL. Let's go to Dixie on line three. Dixie, thanks for calling. You are on WWL. What you want to talk about this morning?
Well, two things. One thing was, I think the only way that we can get rid of crime is to try to control the gun usage. A lot of these young kids have guns, and when I say kids, I mean teenagers. And I think if we spend federal funds doing that, getting kids busy with NORD and having programs for these kids, so they have something to do after school. If I was a tourist down in French Quarter, I wouldn't want to see National Guard people there.
Well, Dixie, that's an interesting point, and some people have expressed concern. Now, on your first level, I will say this. The NOLA Coalition, and we feature them every week here on WWL, has been making a concerted effort to have more and more organizations offering more and more ways to reach troubled and disadvantaged youth in our community and find ways to give them productive use of their time to discourage them from a life of crime. That is something that has been going on even more so in the last several years here in New Orleans since we saw that massive crime spike in 2022. So those efforts are underway. And they utilize private funds, they utilize public funds, and whatever money they can get their hands on to do that. But I understand that you want to see more money go to those programs to stop kids from getting into a life of crime. But as to your point about the National Guard, they were here from the New Year's Day terror attack all the way through Mardi Gras. And
I remember.
And they did not in any way, shape, or form dissuade people from visiting New Orleans, spending time in New Orleans, enjoying themselves in New Orleans. What makes you think the National Guard troops here would want people to not come here when, if they are here, and when they were here, crime was cut nearly in half while they were here during the first 3 months of the year?
Yeah, well, you can't have the National Guard here all the time. I mean, this is really at the about the governor. And really, he's the only one that can say the state guard, the National Guard, stays here, you know. But to have them here all the time would yes deter crime. I think that would be right. But what about disasters? What about different things that they're needed for? And the other thing I wanted to talk about was, I feel sorry for these millennials. How can they afford to get a house? How can they afford to have a car? And just think, Dave, about the poor people, the people living on the fringe. You know, they can't have any of this stuff.
You're talking about the new report about how we're spending 40% on average of our income now on housing.
Yeah, that is just insane. I mean, really insane for a country this rich. And it's out of reach. The American dream is out of reach for millions of people.
Thank you, Dixie. We appreciate your call. And I share your concern. I have four adult children. I am still, you know, having obviously housing and vehicular and other costs. And you're right. It is very, very difficult now to afford a home, a vehicle, the insurance for both. And then be able to also pay for everything else you need in life, from food to other bare necessities and utilities and everything else, and then still want to have enough money to enjoy life, to take vacations, to go out to fantastic meals, and to do those things that cost money. It does really make you wonder how the future is going to unfold and what the future looks like. financially speaking, and whether or not we'll be able to sustain the kind of lifestyles that we love so much, or if we're going to have to give up something somewhere with the cost of housing being such a larger chunk of our budget now. Again, when I moved to Metairie 28 years ago, my house note was under $1,000. Now it's hard to find a car note for under $1,000. And a lot has changed in just one generation's time, and it does make me really wonder what the future looks like and if these issues can be addressed so that we're not spending so much of our income on housing and not having the funds for other things. Chuck, thanks for calling. It's your turn on WWL. Chuck, what you want to talk about?
Yeah, Dave, you know, in conjunction with, you know, the National Guard coming in, and what the Supreme Court just ruled on the other day, which Sotomayor was against it. I saw her have a news conference on that. Saw her an interview about that ICE, you know, ICE, can now stop people due to their race, their accent, their job, the location of their job, where they live. To me, that just sets up a situation where if you're not a white person, and I'm just glad I'm a white person, I mean, I feel guilty almost. You know, we shouldn't feel guilty that we're white, right? But Chuck, let's connect the dots.
Let's connect the dots.
Okay,
So Immigration and Customs Enforcement being able to go to work sites where there are primarily people speaking Spanish, and to go into neighborhoods that are primarily Hispanic, and the National Guard the Supreme Court at least temporarily allowing that. How does that relate to, because you started by saying you wanted to talk about the National Guard coming to New Orleans and fighting crime.
Yeah.
What does one have to do with the other? Connect those dots for me.
Okay. It's a continual pressing against freedom.
So you think the National Guard coming to assist law enforcement in New Orleans would reduce our freedom?
It's an erosion of the Bill of Rights, of the Constitution, of the Declaration of Independence, of everything that made this country great. It's eroding all of these basic tenets of what makes America, America. I know we want to feel safer. I know we're tired of crime, but we're allowing the government to basically just do whatever they want to do. And I'm not sure in the long term it's going to be a good result. It may look good on paper and it may look good in reality for the short term, but in the long term, it just seems like we're slowly just turning into, you know, one of those countries that people really don't have any control over anything anymore.
So for you, it's more philosophical. It's more about this is not what you think America should look like. And so you would rather not see the military, even if it is National Guardsmen and women who are local and members of this community, you'd rather not see the military policing our streets, even if it does mean that we don't have 87 murders like we've had already so far this year in New Orleans. All right. I think we've lost his call, but I appreciate the call at 504-260-1870. It's a very emotional conversation for a lot of people on if the National Guard coming in to help fight crime, it would be a good thing or a bad thing. And what I haven't heard is anyone argue that it won't reduce crime. So I guess the question becomes, if we can all agree that sending National Guard troops to New Orleans would help reduce crime, and we actually have empirical data to prove that, the Metro Crime Commission last hour telling us that they studied what was going on while the National Guard was in New Orleans from January through March of last year, and it did show crime cut nearly in half just while the National Guard was here. So if we can agree that bringing in the National Guard will cut crime, I guess where the disagreement seems to be is at what cost. And some people feel it's the cost of our constitutional rights. Some people, and you just heard it from that caller, think that it just creates a picture that they don't like. John, thanks for calling. You're on WWL.
How you doing this morning?
How you doing this morning?
Good, John. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I would like to say that I got two questions, and I'm saying I live in the Bayou area, and you never see the police. I smoke a cigarette 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you never see police even riding around here. And I don't understand why, small as our city is, you don't see the police walking. You don't see the police walking from block to block. You just don't see it.
Well, John, you know? Did you hear we were talking with Rafael Granacci earlier? New Orleans now has probably less than 800 police officers, he said. Less than 800. As long as I've been here, 28 years, every mayor, every police chief has always said they wanted 1,500. Well, now we have almost half that number. So there's no one left to walk the beat. There's no one left to just patrol the streets. They have to respond to calls. They have to conduct investigations. They have to conduct different operations. Walking the beat, there aren't enough police officers to do that.
So you're telling me in midday, late at night, you don't have enough police to walk some of these blocks at night. You don't have enough police to walk these corners in the evening time, in the like around this time right now. You don't have nothing is really going on what I don't see.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. If 1,000 National Guard troops are here, I guarantee you, you'll see them walking the streets. I guarantee you, you'll see them on patrol. Do you want the National Guard to come in? Do you support 1,000 National Guard troops?
I don't think that many, but I support at least 500 to 400 National Guards. I support that. But I got to say one more thing and for our children of New Orleans. I don't see the Garden District. I don't see the Restaurant District. I don't see none of these guys having centers for these kids. That's because the cost of living is getting higher. You don't see none of these churches or anything, the Garden District, serving sandwiches or punch in the evening, saying that they got meals. You just don't see the community reaching back out, having lunches in the evening when kids get, because some of these kids are not, by the food stamps getting smaller. You don't see like the Garden District picking up. You just don't see it. You just don't.
John, we appreciate the call. We're out of time. I appreciate it. We got to get to a break. Thank you for your call. More lunches, more punch, more snacks. Is that the answer to reducing crime? More cops walking the beat? And what do you think? 1,000 National Guard troops? The Metro Crime Commission is completely on board. The NOPD chief is on board. If you're not on board, why not? We'll continue the conversation and check in with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser after this. The Metro Crime Commission says crime was cut nearly in half while the National Guard were here earlier this year from New Year's Day through Mardi Gras. Pentagon documents that we got to see over the weekend show the Trump administration's considering sending 1,000 National Guard troops to New Orleans as part of a plan the president said would get crime under control in the Crescent City in less than 2 weeks, along with other federal resources. One of the objections that we've heard expressed from those who don't want the National Guard to come to New Orleans is that it would hurt tourism because we'd look like a military state. So we asked the man who's in charge of tourism for the state of Louisiana, Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, to join us. Morning, Billy.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Doing well. Do you fear that if there were National Guard troops helping the NOPD and the Troop NOLA here fight crime in New Orleans, that it would hurt tourism?
Well, it is a concern, but, you know, having a safe city is more important than anything when attracting tourists. I always said if you're going to have the National Guard come in, let's bring our own National Guard in. Don't send them from out of state. Because I know during Super Bowl, those National Guard that were from here on the corners of the French Quarter were interacting with the public, actually giving them advice on directions and things.
They were catching really, beads at the parades.
Yeah, they were actually interacting with the tourists, which is our greatest asset, is the way Louisianans interact with tourists. They leave with a friend for life and keep coming back. I'm actually up in Canada right now, working on getting those Canadian tourists to feel comfortable coming back to Louisiana, even if they're mad at America for being called the 51st state or whatever. We want them back in Louisiana. So we're having great success up here in Canada this week.
Any other concerns when you hear that the plan could be to send 1,000 National Guard troops to New Orleans after the president deals with the crime problem in Memphis? Anything that you worry about, and how do you feel about that?
Yeah, you worry about the stigma that there must be a real crime problem if they send 1,000 Guard down there. And really, since the governor put the state police in the French Quarter, I've seen a world of difference. The facial recognition, catching criminals, wanted criminals before they actually can commit another crime has been incredible. So I think the governor's efforts and what he stepped up and has done in the quarter has made a world of difference and is really making it a lot safer every day that they're down there. So I didn't really see the need, but if the governor makes that decision, I just hope it's our local people, because, you know, the stigma of 1,000 troops coming into New Orleans, are they really having a bad problem? Is it really safe? And you worry about that negative impact always.
Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, I know you're busy up there in Canada. Bring a whole bunch of Canadians back with you to visit in Louisiana, and we appreciate your calling in here on WWL.
Thank you, my friend. Have a good day.
Louisiana Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, live from Canada, here on WWL. More of your calls, and we'll check in with Newell Norman coming up after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City,
I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere.
I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.